Bible, turn with me to the book of Colossians. We're in Colossians chapter 4. Book of Colossians chapter 4. We're going to commence to read at verse 7. This is the final, the long overdue final sermon in our Colossians series that we started just after Easter. And there's been a bit of a break over the summer, and we're finally getting to look at the final verses to wrap up this sermon series. And in these verses we're about to read this morning, Paul finishes with some final greetings and some final comments to the church in Colossae. So let's take some time to concentrate, to meditate, to think upon the very word of God. Colossians chapter 4, and let's read at verse 7. Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They will tell you of everything that has taken place here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, and Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you have received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice. These are the only men of circumcision among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have been a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you, and for those in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, greets you, as does Demas. Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. And when this letter has been read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and see that you also read the letter from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Amen. We've come to the end of the book of Colossians. And if we're asking a very simple question, what's the point? What's the point of this letter that Paul wrote a couple of thousand years ago approximately to this church that met there, a local church in Colossae? What's the point? What's the big idea of this letter? We've worked our way through four chapters. Summarize it in a very simple way. How would I summarize it? I would summarize it with these two words. Jesus matters. That's the big point. That's the big idea of the letter to Colossians, because some false teachers have come in. They're having a bit of influence in this city. They could affect this church. And their summary is, well, Jesus doesn't really matter. You might have heard that in the past, but Jesus is no big deal. Jesus doesn't really matter. That's what these false teachers are saying. He's not really God. And Jesus isn't vital for your salvation. There's other things. Other things are important as well. There's other things that matter. Jesus doesn't really matter. That was the false teaching that this local church were surrounded with. And so Paul writes to them. And he writes to them as a concerned pastor. And he writes very strongly because he wants to refute this nonsense that Jesus doesn't really matter. And this is the point of the letter. Jesus matters. Jesus matters because he's God. That's what Paul has told us. We saw that right in chapter 1. I want to refresh your memory of these incredible verses. Chapter 1, verse 15, he's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and earth. And on he goes because Jesus is God. And if Jesus is God, then he really, really matters. And not only is Jesus God, he actually came into this world. God himself came into this world in human flesh, and he died on a cross. And he died on a cross to reconcile sinful people to himself. Jesus came, he died to reconcile people just like you and just like me. People who were alienated from God because of our sins, and he came to reconcile us to the Father. And he doesn't just finish there. Jesus has an incredible work. Not only does he want to save us, reconcile us to God, he wants to do a work in our hearts and in our lives. And one day present us to the Father as holy and blameless. Nobody else could do that. Nothing else could do that. Only Jesus Christ. And because Jesus Christ is the only one who can reconcile us and one day present us holy and blameless to the Father, Jesus Christ matters. Jesus mattered to Paul. He's the one who changed his life. One day on the road to Damascus, he had this incredible encounter with Jesus. Once he was an enemy of Christ, once he was an enemy of the followers of Jesus, until that day on the road to Damascus, he discovered Jesus matters. Jesus matters more than anything else in the world, and his life was completely transformed, and he then devoted his life to Jesus, to serving him and to proclaiming him and serving his church. We see that in chapter 1 and verse 28. If your Bible's open, maybe cast your eye here. This is what Paul says after he's given this great passage all about who Jesus is. He says these words, chapter 1 and verse 28, him we proclaim, Jesus Christ, he's the one we proclaim, he's the one we preach, he's the one we share, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. What does Paul say here? Jesus matters. He's the one we proclaim. I toil for this. I struggle. I give my life for this cause of making Jesus Christ known. Why does Paul toil? Why does he struggle? Because Jesus matters. Jesus has made a difference in his life, and he wants Jesus to matter in other people's life as well. Jesus Christ matters more than anything else. But let's ask ourselves a question before we go any further in this passage. Jesus matters. But does he matter to you? Does Jesus Christ matter to me? In the league table of priorities of our life, where does Jesus rank? Does Jesus matter? He should be in first place because he's God. The God who came into this world to reconcile you and me to a Father and one day present us holy and blameless. Jesus matters. Wonder if you're sitting here this morning, do you realize the incredible truths that this book of Colossians has taught us as we've worked our way through it? Not only do you understand and realize the incredible truths of who Jesus is, do you understand the challenging implications of what this letter has taught us? Because if Jesus matters, there's an implication for each of our lives. He should matter in our lives as well. If Jesus Christ is the Son of God who died for us to reconcile us to God, he actually matters for this life. Where we put him in our life, how we live our lives, Jesus Christ matters for this life. But more importantly, Jesus Christ matters for the life to come. Jesus Christ matters for all eternity. So does he matter in our lives? Let me be very direct. Some people here this morning, can I ask you, is Jesus Christ your Savior? Are you trusting in Jesus Christ alone for salvation? Good numbers of people here on a Sunday. You can see so many people bank holiday weekends, still people here. And I know there's people here, you come every week, you're here at most services, you come along, you come maybe with a family member, maybe you come here out of habit, but let's be honest. Sunday morning is just an appendix of your life. It's just an add-on. You come maybe to satisfy a family member or to look respectable. But the reality is Jesus Christ does not matter in your life. He's not your Savior, and you're not trusting him for salvation. But the truths of these letters, these are truths that have implications. They have implications for this life and the life to come. So make sure that Jesus matters in your life. Make sure that you are trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because you have no other hope. No other hope for this life or for the life to come. Maybe you're here this morning and you say you are a Christian. Does Jesus Christ matter to you? Yeah, I'm a Christian. I've come along this church for ages. I've made a profession. Maybe I was baptized. I've become a member. But let's be honest. Does he really matter? In that league table of priorities, where does he come? Where does he come in relation to your job, your family, your other interests? Has he got your heart? Or is he just a sideshow? Is he your Lord? Is he the priority of your life? Is he the one you're toiling and struggling for because you realize this is the person I want to live my life for? Does Jesus Christ matter? Make sure that Jesus Christ matters in your life. But what do we actually learn from this final section we've read from chapter 4, verse 7 down to verse 18. As we went through, I'm sure nobody was counting, but in these final verses, there are 15 names of people or places that are mentioned. It's the kind of section most people skim over. You come to the book of Colossians, you've got these fantastic verses about Jesus, and then we've got the list of names at the end. The final greetings, let's just quickly skim over and move on to the next book of the Bible. It's only slightly more interesting than a genealogy. You know, those lists of names, who's all related. These aren't people who are related. These are friends of Paul's. These are people who are getting greeting. It's only slightly more interesting. The meat of the letter is over. The great content is amazing Christology about who Jesus is. That's in the first bit. And now we're just the bit you just waltz through. It's a bit like when you go to see a film. You watch a film, and at the end, the credits roll, the list of names. What do most people do when the list of names starts scrolling up the screen? That's the time to get up and walk out. Everybody loses interest when they see this list of names. Joanne and I always sit on. We're the sad ones trying to watch the names. Why do I do that? Because sometimes, if you persevere and sit on, there's a bonus bit that comes at the end. You know? And if you've walked out during the names, you've missed this golden nugget. It's the same here in this passage. List of names, it's not that important. Let's skim over. But actually, there's some golden lessons in these names that we can learn from. So let's not skim over these names. Let's see what we can learn from it this morning. And what can we learn? Very simple to remember. Two words. This is what we learned from this final section. People matter. People matter. Paul was a people person. In fact, if you read Paul's letter, in his letters, he lists over 100 people. 100 friends, 100 names, acquaintances that he gives greetings to or greetings from. And these weren't fake acquaintances. He wasn't like somebody who had all these Facebook friends who he didn't really know. I was on Facebook this week, and I was looking at a friend's page, and I noticed that this friend had 2,500 friends on Facebook. That made me feel special. I was one of 2,500 friends. Now, this guy is a people person. He knows a lot of people, but let's be honest. 2,500 friends. The majority of them he couldn't pick out an identity parade. He wouldn't be able to spot them. Okay, just met them once, yeah, he's my friend. Paul wasn't like that because when you read his letters, he speaks with real affection for people. These were people that he knew well. And why was Paul a people person? Was that his personality? Some people are people persons, you know, they're just always in a crowd. They love speaking to people, lots of friends. You know, on the phone, talking to people, sending messages. That's some people's personality. I don't know. We never met Paul. I think the real reason he's a people person is because people matter. And people matter to Jesus Christ. People matter to God. And so when Jesus matters to you, then people will matter to you as well. See, Jesus Christ came into this world. Why did Jesus Christ step from heaven into this world? Because he had a love and a concern for people. Why did Jesus Christ hang on a cross? Why was he separated from the Father? Tonight we're going to look at Psalm 22 in our evening service. It uses the word that Christ used on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why was Christ separated from the Father? Why? Because of love for people. He loved people. He died on the cross so that he could unite people together, reconcile them to God, and unite them to one another into his body, the church. Christ was interested in people. And because Jesus matters, then people matter to Paul as well. The first name we get on this list, verse 7, is a man called Tychicus. What do we know about this man? We don't know a great deal about him. We know a few things that we can get from Scripture. What we do know is he was a Gentile. Paul was a Jew, remember, devout Jew from birth until he became a follower of Jesus Christ. This man was the opposite. He was a Gentile. This man was born in Asia, different place from where Paul was brought up. This was a man who was racially different from Paul. He was culturally different. These men were from different places. And yet, how does Paul refer to this man in verse 7? Let's look closely at verse 7. Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. What Paul said about this man is completely different from him. He's a beloved brother. What united them? Their common Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus mattered to Paul, and he mattered to this man, Tychicus, and so they're united. And he's my beloved brother. He's my fellow servant. We are toiling and struggling together because we love Jesus. And because we love Jesus, people matter. I have an interest in this man who normally I would have no interest whatsoever in. The second name on the list is a man called Onesimus. We find him mentioned in verse 9. We've come across him before. We came across him last year when we studied that very short book, The Letter to Philemon. And if you remember from then, or if you know the story from the Bible, Philemon was a bit of an interesting character. He was a thief. He was a slave. He had stolen from his master. And then he had run away. He had ended up in prison. He was a scoundrel. He was the kind of guy you wouldn't have gone anywhere near. Until in prison, he ended up meeting the Apostle Paul. And not only did he meet the Apostle Paul, he had an encounter with someone even greater. He discovered in that prison that Jesus matters. And his life is changed and transformed. Incredible story. We love to tell you. That's a good testimony. This thief, this runaway, this prisoner, he comes to Christ. But even though it's a great testimony, most people would avoid somebody like that because he's a man with a criminal record. This is a man with a colorful past. And yet what does Paul call him in verse 9? Our faithful and beloved brother. I love this guy. Why does he love him? Because Jesus matters to both of them. And he doesn't just say he's my beloved brother. He brings him with him and he involves him on his missionary team. They serve Christ together, shoulder to shoulder and side by side. People matter, even the people with a colorful past. Another name that's mentioned here is Mark. John Mark, he's the one we know who wrote Mark's gospel. We also know something about Mark and the Apostle Paul from the book of Acts. Mark was the failure of a missionary. He was the dropout. He was going along with Paul and Barnabas until things just got tough. We don't know all the exact reasons. He dropped out, he bailed out, and he left them, walked away. It actually caused a bit of a division between Paul and Barnabas at that stage. Mark is the failed missionary from the past. And yet as we come years later, he's mentioned here. And where is he? He's back in Paul's team. He's back serving with Paul, serving together. They've had a parting in the past, but that hasn't caused a difficulty for the future. Here they are, united in service again. There's obviously been forgiveness there. There's been restoration. Why has that happened? Because Paul knows this great truth. People matter. And he has this guy back on his team. Because Jesus matters, and Jesus died on the cross for people, and he wants to reconcile people to God and unite them in his family, then people matter. And if you're a Christian, people matter. Other believers matter, and we see that very clearly in the life of Paul. Paul had a real heart for people. That's why he wrote this letter. That's why he took the time to pen the letter to the Colossians. That's why he wrote it. He wrote it because there's false teachers coming in. He doesn't want to take the attitude, let them sort it out. He doesn't want to drift into unbelief. He writes this letter. And he sends these first two that we've mentioned, Tychicus and Onesimus, with the important job. He's written the letter. He's in prison. He can't personally deliver it. And he gives the letter to Tychicus and Onesimus, and he says, you go and deliver this letter to the church in Colossae so they can read it out and be taught the word of God. So they're sent as the postman. Obviously, they didn't have a postal service. They had to hand deliver this letter. But it was more than just a delivery job. Look at verse 8. I have sent him, Tychicus, to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. That was Tychicus' job, and Onesimus with him, not just to hand over the letter, but to get involved in their lives, to encourage their hearts, to build them up in their love for Christ and in their faith as well. Why does Tychicus want to go and encourage the hearts of this local church? Because people matter. And he wants to invest himself in the life of this local church. And all true Christians, if you're a true believer here this morning, you should have an interest in people. Because people matter. They matter to Christ and they should matter to you as well. And your desire should be the desire of verse 8 as well. To encourage the hearts of others. We want to encourage other believers' hearts that they might grow and develop in their faith as well. Paul's heart wasn't just for this one church in Colossae. He also had an interest in the neighboring churches as well. And so he's written a letter to Colossae, and he's written a letter to another church a few miles down the road in Laodicea, and he wants them to swap the letters over. Let's look at verses 15 and 16. Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea, and Nympha, and the church in her house. And when this letter has been read among you, have it also read in the church of Laodiceans, and see that you also read the letter from Laodicea. This time they didn't have a New Testament, and this letter that he wrote was become, in years to come, part of the canon of Scripture. And so these people didn't have the New Testament we have. They didn't have all these Bible commentaries, teaching books, and things to really help them in their faith. But Paul's a real heart for these people. So read this letter, and the word read means actually read aloud. The public reading of Scripture, which is such an important part, it's an important part of our church life still today. Read this letter aloud so people can hear it, learn from it. They might encourage their hearts and build them up in their faith. And this is going to be a help to you, but don't just keep it to yourselves. There's a church down the road. Pass the letter on to them, because those people matter as well. Let them be taught by this letter. Let them be built up in their faith. And when you're giving them a letter, take a letter that I wrote to them. Now, it talks about a letter to the Laodicea. What is that letter? We don't know. We don't have a copy of it. It's not part of the canon of Scripture. Some people think it might have been the letter to Ephesians, but that's unlikely. Paul obviously wrote other letters which aren't included. It'd be fascinating to read those letters as well. But he's a heart for people. Just don't keep this content to yourself. Pass it on so these people can be blessed as well. In this final section, he also mentions a man called Epaphras. Look at verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. Who was Epaphras? We talked about him when we started this series. Epaphras was probably the man who heard Paul preach in Ephesus. He heard the gospel, became a Christian. He was originally from Colossae. He was the one who had gone back to Colossae. He had preached the gospel. People had probably been converted, and he was probably the man who planted this church in Colossae. He was the founder of this local church and their pastor as well. So he had a big impact upon the church he received this letter. But he has left the church, and he's moved, and he's gone to be with Paul. Now, why did he come away from the church to be with Paul? We're not exactly sure. Maybe he had come to Paul to share some of his concerns as these false teachers about how do I deal with them. And so then Paul has written this letter. But he talks about Epaphras. And what we see from this man Epaphras is Epaphras had discovered this great truth that people matter. People matter. What does it say about Epaphras here? Paul says to the church, here's a man who's always struggling on your behalf in his prayers. He's always struggling. The word struggling means he's wrestling. This is intense prayer. He's not just praying, Lord, bless the church in Colossae. He's wrestling, struggling in prayer. Why? Because he's obviously got a heart for these people. People matter to him. This local church family, this church that he's a part of, means something to him. People matter to them. And so he takes prayer seriously. His prayers aren't self-centered prayers. Lord, bless me. Bless me in my spiritual life. That's okay to pray that, but he doesn't stop there. He's praying for other people. And why does he pray for other people? Because people matter. He prayed for his church family, and he prayed that they would stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. He prays that this local church family might grow up in their faith and be strong and keep on growing in their love for Christ. He realized that people mattered, and it was reflected in his prayer life. I wonder what our prayer life says about us. Do people matter in our prayers as well? Maybe you pray for your family, yeah, but what beyond that? The people who are culturally and racially different, the people with a colorful past, the people who have failed in the past like Mark, the people in our church family who are different from us. Are we wrestling in prayer for those people because we want to see them stand mature in their faith? Remember, people matter. I wonder, do people matter to us. If Jesus matters to you, his people should also matter to you as well. Are you a people person? Now, I'm not talking about your personality. We've all different personalities. We have extroverts, we have introverts. We have people who love a crowd, love to be surrounded by people, and people who just love to stay on their own at the side. God has made us all different personalities. When I say, are you a people person, what I'm talking about is your spiritual life. Does your spiritual life reflect this great truth that people matter? Because if Jesus matters to you, people should matter to you as well. Do we accept all believers as the Apostle Paul did? Think of the people on his team. Culturally different, racially different, people of the past, people that failed. Paul took an interest. Do we accept all believers? Do we want to encourage people's hearts like Tychicus did? I want to comment, as it says there, verse 8, that he may encourage your hearts. Is that our desire? If we look around our church family, I want to encourage the heart of that person. I want to encourage that person. I want to be a blessing to them. I want to see them built up in their faith. Do we struggle in prayer for people in our church family like Epaphras did? That they would be mature. Remember, people matter. This passage also shows us something else about Paul. It shows us that Paul was not a one-man ministry. He wasn't a lone ranger. He always had a team who assisted him in everything he did. And why was Paul not a lone ranger? Because he realized this truth that people matter for ministry. People matter for ministry. The book of Ephesians chapter 4 talks about the role that certain people have. It talks about apostles, like Paul was. It talks about prophets. It talks about evangelists and shepherds, pastors and teachers. Why has God set people aside for this? Is that to do all the ministry? No. We've talked about this verse quite a few times. Ephesians 4 says that God has these people to equip the saints for works of service. The reason God has some people in certain roles is for the benefit of all the church, to equip God's people, they might serve him, they might minister to him. You see, people matter for ministry. All believers matter for ministry. Back in June, we had John Bell come and share with us for a men's breakfast one Saturday morning. John Bell is the pastor of Harare Baptist Church in Zimbabwe. We had a great morning as he taught a group of men. Lovely breakfast as well, but great Bible teaching. We had great physical food and great spiritual food that day. And John was sort of taking up this theme as part of it. And he spoke about when he arrived at Harare Baptist Church in Zimbabwe. And outside the church was a sign. It says Harare Baptist Church. Then it said Minister. And then that's where his name was to be slotted in. So Minister John Bell. He wanted to change that. Because who is the minister? The minister is the one who does the ministry. And he knew that that wasn't right. It wasn't just one person. Yes, there's one person who's been set aside to give all their time and attention. They're not going off to another job. There's a focus there to concentrate on ministry. But that wasn't right. And so he changed it. And he changed the sign to say, ministers, all the believers. Ministers, who's it for? All the believers, because that's what the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us when you're a believer, when you're united to Christ, you become part of the body, and all the party has a role to play in serving Jesus Christ. In this section, Paul mentions others who ministered alongside him. He was not a one-man ministry. He wasn't somebody to say, I'm the minister. They're all part of the team, different gifts, different passions, all part of the body, serving Christ together. Some we know in this group, mentions Mark, mentions Luke. Others we know little about, Aristarchus, Justus, Demas. But all played a vital role in working together, serving local churches, and helping advance the proclamation of the gospel. Why was Paul a team ministry man? Because he realized that people matter for ministry. Still the same today in local church. Ministry and the local church cannot function fully without the faithful service of all the body, of all the believers. Let me say that again, let that sink in. Ministry in the local church cannot function fully without the faithful service of all the body, of all the believers. That is God's plan. Not for one, two people to do it all, but for everybody to use their spiritual gifts that God has given for the building up and the maturing of the church and the proclamation of the gospel. People matter for ministry. We have all different gifts, all different ministries. Not everybody on this team was like the Apostle Paul with the great theological mind, the ability to argue and to reason, to preach. You're somebody like Luke, what was he doing? He was recording a lot of these things. I'm sure he was great to have on the team as well, have a doctor to physically help this team as they traveled around. Other ones, we don't know exactly what their role was, but working together for the benefit of the church. All different gifts, but all vital. Let's think this morning. What ministry, if you're a believer, has God called you to? What is your ministry for the encouragement and the building up of the church? Perhaps it's children's ministry. We've mentioned that this morning. Perhaps you could be somebody who could slot in and fill up some of those gaps that we have in our sort of organized children's ministry. Maybe it's youth. Some of you, God has given you a great gift of, well, every gift's great, a gift of evangelism. You're good at talking to people, sharing your faith as you meet people on the bus, as you meet your neighbors. Maybe as we go out, and we're going to do a lot more sort of door-to-door work around our local estate in this incoming season. We'll hear a bit more about that. Maybe you've got that gift. You can talk to people on the door and share Christ. God has blessed you with that gift. Maybe you have a gift for encouragement. Coming alongside, some of you are a good Barnabas, encouraging people's hearts just as you speak to them, maybe at the coffee time, maybe a little note that you write to people. Maybe somebody's lost a loved one, you're writing them a letter. You have just that gift of encouragement, and you're using it to be a blessing to the body. Lots of other gifts, I'll not be able to mention them all. Maybe if God has given you a gift and a passion for prayer, pray publicly and be a blessing to the church, but you're wrestling in prayer at home, spending hours and being a real help and encouragement to the church through your prayer life. Maybe God has gifted you just practically. You're very hands-on. You can do a lot of practical things that help other people fulfill different ministries within the church. Maybe God's given you a gift of administration. You're very organized. You're good at organizing things. Be a real blessing to the church. Maybe it's music, serving through that publicly on a Sunday, or maybe some of the other children's ministries. They need people who can help with music. I know Monday night, CB Kids Monday are looking for somebody to help with music. Maybe you could help in that there. Maybe you've got a gift for discipling people, coming alongside and just speaking into their life, teaching them things to build them up in their faith. Whatever it is, remember that people matter for ministry. Perhaps you're not sure what gifts you have to be a blessing to the church. God hasn't forgotten about you. You have gifts and blessings and gifts and passions. Maybe you haven't discovered what they are. If that's you this morning, you're not sure where to minister for Christ, well, seek God. Pray about it. Seek guidance. And maybe also seek advice. Come and speak to someone like myself or an elder. It's great in the past week to have two people come to me, to have sit-down conversations with two people saying to me, I'd like to serve here. I have an interest in this ministry. What do you think? And just chatting through, would this be where God would have them serve for the blessing and the building up of the local church? Come and speak if you want to find out more. Whatever it is, think about verse 17. Let's look at verse 17 as we come to an end this morning. And say to Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. I love that name, Archippus. It's a great name. We had it in the book of Philemon. For some reason, when I say that name, Archippus, I have a visual picture in my mind what he looks like. He looks like Archie Thompson. Okay. Is that what your name's short for, Archie? You know, Archippus. And he was somebody who was part of the church in Colossae. And Paul has a very clear instruction to this man. He says, see that you fulfill the ministry that you received in the Lord. What was this man's ministry? We don't know. Probably wasn't the pastor. That was Epaphras of this church. We don't know what this man did, but he had a ministry that God had given him for serving this church. And Paul says, make sure you fulfill it. Don't slack on it. Don't drop out. Don't say, I'm not able to do this. Why does Paul include this? He only says this to one person in the church. Make sure you fulfill. Had he been slacking from it? We're not sure. I don't know what the reason is. But we could actually take this verse and challenge ourselves. Challenge myself. You challenge yourself. See that you fulfill the ministry that you've received in the Lord. Let's all fulfill the ministry that God has given to us. Because people matter for ministry. But as we come to the end of this letter to the Colossians, I trust this study through Colossians has been helpful, but let's not just close the letter. That's it done. We've done Colossians. We can tick that off. Let's move on to the next series as it starts next Sunday morning. Let's not close the letter because it teaches us so many relevant things for us today, so many relevant things as we live for Christ. So let's continue to think about these truths. Let's reread the book. Maybe if you haven't been reading your Bible recently, it's a good place to pick up your Bible today and start reading, read through Colossians again, or even if you're faithful in your Bible readings, you can come to it as well. Let's read about it. Let's think about the truths we find here in Colossians. Let's meditate upon these truths, and let's pray them into our lives as well. And as we read this, above all else, let's remember this great truth, that Jesus matters. And he matters more than anything else in this world. Let's make sure he matters in our lives as well. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for these great lessons we've learned as we've worked our way through the book of Colossians. We thank you that Jesus Christ matters above anything else in this world, that Jesus Christ is truly God, who was fully man as well and stepped into this world to save us from our sins if we trust him, to reconcile us to a holy God, and to do a work in our hearts and our lives, and one day present us mature and perfect in your sight. We don't deserve it, but we thank you for this incredible grace that Christ is willing to bestow upon us. And help us to be spiritually mature. Help us each one to realize that Jesus matters and to put Christ in first place. Help us to love Christ, God, with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. And because Christ matters to us, help us to realize that people matter as well. And help us to love our neighbor as ourselves and have a real interest in people. Give us this heart. Increase this heart within us, we pray. And we ask this in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Amen.